This is the good news of the gospel according to John. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." This is the good news of the gospel. Well, good morning, everybody. It is Confirmation Sunday, which is exciting. Lots of festivities and exciting things to happen, and we had a baptism at our earlier service as well, which is just perfect to start off the morning with a baptism and then for you all to affirm your baptisms here in just a few minutes. So, a few weeks ago, all of us, along with some of our other middle schoolers, were on a retreat, first overnight retreat we've been able to do since 2020, so it was awesome and great to be back into that kind of space. And on Saturday evening of that weekend, after worship, we sat around the campfire, and we've just provided space for our students to ask questions. It's a practice that we've done a few years now in a row, and it's something that I do regularly with our middle schoolers and our high schoolers in ministry, just space for them to just ask anything they want, anything about their faith. It's wide open, and the questions you can imagine we get are just phenomenal and sometimes funny and sometimes really hard to answer. There are questions like, are the stories in the Bible true? To where did God come from? There are some questions this year that were asked that I had never even considered before, one in particular. So Jesus died and was raised from the dead, but then ascended into heaven. So does that mean Jesus died again? Which is a really interesting thought and question about that. Or other questions like, does God change God's mind, or does God make mistakes and learn from them, referencing the Noah's Ark story and the rainbow put into the clouds? So awesome, deep, thoughtful questions, right? And I love hearing the wonderings of our students and the ways that they're struggling in their faith and how they're starting to think deeper about these things. But I think a lot of times we get nervous when we open something up wide open like that to young people and ask them to just ask questions. I think we get nervous because for us adults, we feel like we're supposed to have the answers potentially, or the correct answers or something along those lines. We get concerned that maybe their questions are contrarian or that they're demonstrating doubt or a lack of faith in their questions, but I've actually found the exact opposite to be true. When our young people ask questions, it comes from this place of deep faith and wondering as they try to learn more about the stories of our faith, and they're trying to connect the ancient stories that we tell to their own stories today and what this means for their lives. Now, sometimes the questions do express some doubt, but honestly, what better way to confront that doubt and to explore that than in safe community together, to come and express those fears and concerns and doubts and questions and wrestle with those things together in community, where most likely there's other people that share those same questions and doubts as you. I think questions about our faith are deeply rooted to our exploration of the faith, and I think they're essential to our faith journey. If we learn anything from the disciples of Jesus, it should be to ask questions. Our gospel reading this morning, it wasn't included in it, but Jesus is actually responding to a question asked by Judas, not Iscariot, a different disciple named Judas. And the question is this: Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? And of course, this question is coming after Jesus has already washed the disciples' feet. And this whole section of John that we're reading right now and going through is that last night that Jesus is with his disciples. And there's actually a lot of questions that are being asked from the disciples. They ask Jesus 7 different questions, and Jesus responds in over 5 chapters of John in this one evening of information that and teaching that he's giving out to the disciples. And it shouldn't be lost on us that Jesus himself asks a lot of questions. In fact, rarely does Jesus actually provide an answer, but he responds to a question with a question, which our confirmands can tell you they hate, because Pastor Nathan and I do that to them all the time. So I think it's really interesting, this idea of questions and inserting this into our faith lives and how we ask questions. It's interesting that we become so reticent to ask questions. And I'm guilty of this as well. I get nervous about asking questions when I'm in a class or in a workshop or something like that. I get worried that I'm not going to sound smart, or that it's a question that I should already know the answer to. Maybe y'all can relate to this. And for some reason, when it comes to our faith, it becomes an even greater obstacle. It's like we feel like we should know these things because we've maybe been attending church for our whole life, so we should have the answers, or because we were confirmed, so we should have the answers, or because we read the Bible regularly, we should know these things about our faith. We feel like we are less of a Christian maybe because we don't know all of these things. It's almost as if it's this last bit of works righteousness that lives in us, where we feel like we have to have these knowledges and know these things about who God is and how God works, as if asking questions reveals the truth about us, that we don't know everything about God, and maybe we'd be judged for that, maybe even condemned for that. And honestly, depending on how you grew up, where you grew up, when you grew up, the tradition you grew up in, maybe this has been the case for you. There are denominations and places where asking questions isn't welcomed like it is here. Asking questions is not seen as a sign of faithfulness, but instead a sign of doubt and a lack of faith. Depending on the tradition you grew up in, you were told what to believe and the right way to believe it, or else. The pursuit of knowledge in the faith was less of an exploration and much more of a lecture, potentially. And even within the Lutheran tradition that we are a part of, there is this piety when it comes to confirmation in particular, where confirmation is a time where people are taught everything important about the faith, the explanations of the creeds, the Lord's Prayer, the Bible stories, what the sacraments are all about, the history of the church, etc., etc., on and on, all the things that all of our students can absolutely share with you, all of the information that is there. Of course, after enough education in these matters, young people should be able to regurgitate these things and say what they believe, at least what they've been taught to believe, memorize all the important documents of our faith, and then be blessed to move forward in their lives as educated, faithful servants of Christ. And so I wonder how many of you could relate to a similar confirmation experience where you were forced to memorize all kinds of things, maybe put on trial in front of councils or something like that, asked a whole bunch of questions. Anyone want to admit to an experience like that? I know it wasn't just me. I've heard from some of you. Yes, thank you. A couple of you. I think it's nothing short of a miracle that those that have experienced confirmation or educational experiences in the church like that, it's a miracle that we continue to remain faithful and part of congregations in the church. See, when we create these educational experiences for our young people like this, or really for any age, we're inhibiting the wonderment of God to grace our young people's minds. We're basically saying that there's only 2 to 3 years worth of things that you need to learn about in the faith, and after that, you should be good to go. As if the knowledge of God and how God works in the world can be summed up in any time frame, let alone comprehended by brains that are beginning to develop and change drastically and gain a deeper understanding of the way the world works. Not to mention the lack of agency that we give to our young people when we tell them what to believe. It should be no surprise that in the ELCA, our denomination, about 80% of students who are confirmed will not be involved in ministries in the church, in their church, after they're confirmed. So, my deep little secret and confession for the morning: I don't like confirmation. And now when I say confirmation, I'm not talking about what these students are preparing to do in a few minutes. What they're preparing to do is affirm their baptisms, affirm their faith in what they were baptized into. Confirmation is actually the process in which it is preparing and getting them ready to do that. And honestly, it's not even the process that I don't like so much as it is what the church has turned it into. You see, this model that I talked about where faith is told to young people, where they're expected to regurgitate the things that we tell them to, there's typically no actual transformation in this type of structure. And I don't want to diminish anyone's experience who maybe learned a lot from their confirmation experience. It's certainly possible and able to happen. But this way of educating young people, and really anybody in the faith, is not only eliminating the wonderment, as I mentioned before, it communicates that there is nothing left to learn, that our God is only the creeds, the prayers, and scriptures taught, that there's little left to learn after you are confirmed, and what this has created is generations of churchgoers who are stuck at an eighth grade faith level. There are generations of people who don't know how or don't feel comfortable asking questions about their faith. They have decided not to pursue additional experiences or opportunities to go deeper into their faith and explore other avenues of who God is and how God works in the world. And the reality is, and you all listen to this, this is directed to you all and everybody, but you all especially, the reality is our faith does not stop growing or evolving on a specific day when we stand up and affirm our baptisms. Our faith doesn't stop growing actually or evolving at all until the day we die, because God continues to pursue us, God continues to be present with us, and God continues to teach us and educate us new things about who God is and how God works. This is not the end. You all have heard me say this a billion times. This is not the end, but the start of a journey. And we have to remember that Jesus was a teacher. He was a rabbi, which literally means teacher. And Jesus tells us in our gospel readings this morning that the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. And then we also read about Lydia in the book of Acts, who gathered with the disciples in community and heard them and experienced their community together and was converted, and the Lord opened her heart. And she heard the good news about who Jesus was and is, and she chose to be baptized along with her family. See, Jesus isn't just lecturing. He doesn't just teach with lectures and memorization. Jesus engages the disciples and us and gives them experiences that become transformational in their lives. He provides glimpses of the kingdom of God. He actually sends them out to serve the poor. He washes their feet. He breaks bread with them. He allows them to touch his wounds. He challenges them with questions and encourages questions back. He provides physical experiences that actually transform the lives of the disciples as their eyes are opened and their hearts are opened to the kingdom of God and the resurrection life. Jesus doesn't just lecture to their ear. He creates a full sensory experience that connects deeply with the lives of the disciples. And this is what teaching in the church should be. This is what I hope you all have somewhat experienced as we've tried to create that in our confirmation and our high school. And I know Miss Alicia does this with our journey kids across the board. So Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit, we hear in our gospel this morning, the Spirit to teach us everything. So if we believe this to be true, the question then is, how do we learn from the Holy Spirit? How do we listen to what is being taught by the Holy Spirit? And I think it is in community, in relationship with one another. Notice that the disciples never learn anything alone. Notice that the conversion of the early Christians that we read about in our scriptures never happens while they're alone. It's in community where we ask questions, where we wrestle with the hard things of our faith, where we see Christ in the other and our eyes and hearts are opened to the kingdom of God, and we experience that kingdom of God here and now. Teaching the doctrine of the faith is important, but it doesn't lead to relationships and transformation. And so as these eight wonderful young people prepare to affirm their faith this morning, I hope for the rest of you, this is a time for reflection on what you believe. How has it changed over time? And how has it transformed you? Does your faith lead you to glimpses of the kingdom of God? Or are you in need of a new lesson from the Holy Spirit to open your eyes and heart? How is God inviting you to learn and experience the resurrection life promised to you here and now? And no matter what your answers are to these questions, may you continue to wonder deeply and ask the hard questions. May you open your mind to the Holy Spirit and the teachings of Jesus. May you discover transformation in Christ-filled relationships, and may God continue to give you glimpses of the kingdom of God and the good news of the God who loves you deeply no matter what. Thanks be to God, and amen. Let's stand and let's sing together.